next time you're grabbed for my waist, warn me. Pastor Peel, I had the privilege of serving under for 6 years, 6 years now, as a youth pastor. And Pastor Peel was a wonderful spiritual mentor. I learned so much about ministry from him. And one of his great attributes was that his love for the body of Christ. He just had a great love for the body of Christ. But the other is his love for the Word. And when he would preach, he would open his Bible to his text, but any cross-reference he referred to, he never turned to, because he had it all memorized. It was amazing. His scripture memory prowess was so wonderful to behold that I, as a young youth pastor now, 23, 24 years of age, determined, I'm going to memorize God's Word. I want to be like Pastor Peel. And so I began to just memorize it. The first thing I did was I went and bought a Navigator's topical memory system. How many of you ever tried that? All right, Barb, thank you. Appreciate that. But it wasn't until one day one of my college-age students, Steve Mueller, came to me, and Steve said, I know you're working on scripture memory. Pastor, this is a great system. And he handed me an article from Moody Monthly. And apparently Moody Monthly reprints this article fairly regularly because I've seen other people use this Bible memory system to great success. So I'm sharing with you, I don't know if Moody owns the rights to it or whatever, but I'm sharing with you what I learned from that article and it put into practice in my life, all right? What it is the idea, by the way, this system doesn't give you the verses. You've got to go find your own verses. But it helps you to file them away and organize your rehearsal of them so that you can regularly have God's Word at the tip of your tongue, ready at a moment's notice. All right? I'm sorry. We'll move on to another subject. This is some of my scripture memory cards that I have here that I'm working on today. All right? So this is what it's based on. It's based on three sections. If you're writing notes, you're going to want an index card box. An index card box. And you're going to want, obviously, index cards, 3x5 or 4x whatever you like, index cards, and dividers. Get blank dividers, and you're going to develop one divider that says daily reading. And then you're going to have seven dividers that say Sunday through Saturday. I wrote weekly here because it's the days of the week. So you're going to have seven cards or dividers that say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You got it? And then you're going to have 21 dividers that have 1 through 21. That's tri-weekly. All right? Now, how this system works, it's beautiful to behold. As you're doing your Bible reading, I had you notice that, Nolene, that I had a passage underlined. I wrote an M in the book. That means memory verse. All right? When I'm doing my daily Bible reading, I won't stop my Bible reading, the flow of my Bible reading, to suddenly stop and go, man, I want to add that to my memory verse. I'm going to write out the verse now and set it off and then continue, because that interrupts the flow of how God is speaking to me. I don't want that, so I quick just do an M circle on the side and keep going. When I'm done with all of my Bible reading and I'm journaled and everything else, at the very end is when I'm going to dedicate time to Scripture memory. That's when I'll go back, and if I did three M's during today's reading, then I'm going to write out those cards. And the way you write out the card is, that they suggest, is that on one side of the card, you write the topic, you know, God's sovereignty. And then the verse, if it's Ephesians, well, let's say salvation here, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. All right? And then the first two or three words of the verse. Okay? The first two or three verse words of the verse. All right? And it kind of like primed the pump, all right? Then on the opposite side of the card, you write out the verse word for word on the back side or type it out. I've gotten these on some of these are newer, so I have a computer program that does it now, all right? And you add that to your system. So when you first start this system, you're not going to have anything in here. You're just going to be adding new verses to the daily reading because you're working with them every day. You have nothing here. Got that? You just are adding new verses until you get 21 cards. Everything is working on the base of 7. You get 21 cards in that daily reading. And you've memorized them. You can recite them. When you can memorize these 21 cards, and you might continue adding on, and there might be 24, 25, but those first 21 that you've memorized, you now take them out of the daily reading and file 3 cards per day of the week. That's 21 cards, right? I know we're preachers. You can do the math. 3 times 7, all right? So now, as I'm continuing with this series, I'm continually to add daily verses here. I've got 3 verses per day of the week that I've already memorized. So on the particular day of the week, I pull out those 3 cards and I rehearse them. I've already memorized them, so it's just a matter of reviewing them, right? And then we continue on until what we hold. You've got another 21 cards here. This is the thing that supplies the rest of everything else. You got another 21 cards. And so you file another 3 cards. So now you got 6 cards per day of the week. And again, you continue going that. You're learning new verses and reviewing on a weekly basis, right? Once per week, all the verses that you have already memorized by just taking it apart per day of the week. Is this clear? You getting this? You keep doing that until you get 21 cards per day of the week. But by now, you know this stuff like crazy. You don't even have to think about it. For the weapons of warfare, not mighty, but carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. Amen. It just goes out of your mind because you're not even thinking about it anymore. You've really got it down. When you get 21 cards on Monday, 21 cards on Tuesday, 21 cards, and all the way through the days of the week, you pull all of them out. And now you file 7 cards times 21. 7 cards in 1, 7 cards in 2, and you got the numbers 1 through 21. Then you keep supplying down the weekly verses, and when you got cards in all 3 sections, now you can see what's happening. Every day you're working on new verses. It might be just 1 or 2 new verses, or it might even only be 3 or 4 verses per week that you're dropping into the daily reading. But anyways, that's what's supplying everything else. You're rehearsing or reviewing verses that you've recently learned, and then once every 3 weeks, you're reviewing a verse that you have really, really, really learned. And you keep working your way through this system, and you never forget any of the verses you've ever memorized. Now, I've done seminars on this, and when I do a seminar, I'll often ask, how many of you have been in the Awana program? And they all go, oh, and how many of you you got your Timothy Award? Whoa! Okay, give me 5 verses from the Awana program. And they get John 3:16, and then they're stuck. After doing all that work, they get their Timothy Award. They can't remember any of the verses that they memorized. Why? Because they didn't review them. If you don't review them, you're going to lose them. And that's the beauty of this system, that you keep working your way through these. And I have now over 4,000 verses in my box. I got a big, long box. Right, Brian? You've seen it. And I started off with a little index card box, and now I got a big one. And all of my verses are in this system except for those that I pulled out today. All of those verses are in that system so that I'm never more than 3 weeks away from reviewing any one of them. You see that? I'm telling you guys, this one thing has been the greatest thing in my spiritual life. It's been the greatest thing for my spiritual development. It's been the greatest thing in my preaching. It's been the greatest thing in my defense against the attack of the enemy. Brian, what do I often say about my memory verse? Do I want you to look through my box? No. Remember, you've heard me say this. I don't want you looking in my memory verse box. Why? Because I have a lot of verses in there that deal with my weaknesses and the sin that so easily entangles me. And I have verses that I memorize when those areas of temptation or weakness come. Because when the enemy attacks me and tempts me, I found that if I can recite a verse specific to the temptation, that it flees from me. Amen? And so you can see how important this is in my life. And so we remember, this is under that soul portion of our spiritual development. We say, Pastor, man, you're talking about individual worship and Bible reading highlights and journaling and prayer time and this part is at the end. I will organize my verses, but once I've organized my verses, then this goes with me all day long. And when you see me driving around Kalamazoo, you'll see me driving and I have a deck of cards in my hand. And when I'm stuck at that stoplight, I'm looking at verses, checking them. I don't do it while I'm driving. But, you know, I have these with me when I'm in all that downtown when I'm driving. I've noticed that if you try to drive in Sydney, you've got a lot of downtime. A lot of downtime, all right? Let me give you a testimony on this. My daughter, Sarah, and all my children have continued on with this scripture memory program, and I'm really thankful that they picked that up from Dad. But my daughter, Sarah, was working in Washington, D.C., and she was at outside of her office building. She was working for the Department of Defense, and right across the street from the Pentagon is the Subway, sub sandwich. You have them here, right? Subway. And so she was in her booth, and she was going through her verses. And she's memorizing them, working on those, and working on, and she's saying them out loud, quietly. You know, she's not preaching to the restaurant, but she's saying them out loud. And this gentleman that was sitting in the booth behind her, he gets up. He's got an $8,000 Armani Italian silk suit on. He's got probably a briefcase of this incredible leather that might be $3,000 briefcase. I mean, he's dressed to the nines, and he's groomed immaculately. He's walking by Sarah's as she is reciting a passage from Psalms. I forget which one it was. And he stopped, and he said, "Ma'am, what did you just say?" And she said, "I was reciting from the Psalms." And he said, "Would you recite that to me, please?" And she said, "Okay," and she recited it to him. And all of a sudden, tears well up in his eyes. And all he said was, "Ma'am, you have no idea how I needed to hear that right now." And he turned around and walked away. Is that going to happen every time you recite? No, but see, when we have the Word of God at our fingertips all the time, God's going to use us in incredible ways. I can encourage you. If scripture memory is not a regular part of your routine, get into it. And if you don't have a routine, try this. If you've got your routine, stay with it. Don't abandon what Matt's doing to do this, but this is what works for me. And if you don't have a routine, try this. Now, there's no doubt, if you want to do this, come talk to me more afterwards and we'll spend more time with this, because it's pretty hard to imagine it if you don't see the box in front of you. But I didn't have enough room in my baggage to bring my whole box with me, so I just grabbed cards. Any question on that or any comment? Yep. What's that? Yes. 4,000. Yeah, divide that by 21. What's the math on that? Somebody do the math. No, no. If I'm if I'm never 3 weeks away from any one verse, how many verses am I rehearsing on a weekly basis, on a daily basis? By the way, I need to parenthesize that. If a card might have 8 verses on it. Okay? Some cards just have 1 verse on it, but some other cards will have 3 or 4, or in Psalm 119, each card has 8 verses on it. All right, so I don't have 4,000. I don't have over 4,000 cards. I have over 4,000 verses memorized. All right, but in any case, your question is, how long does it take me on a daily basis? Right. I do. Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason why. You want me to recite Psalm 119 for you? Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, when I was a youth pastor at 24 years of age. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got me pegged. And there's a point now that I have so many key verses memorized that the more important ones that I don't add as many nowadays as I used to. But I still find something else that speaks to me that I want to add to my list. I add verses that are theological in nature. They explain something about God. They are apologetic in nature. They will help me in defense of the gospel. They are personal. They deal with a personal sin or strength or a weakness in my life that I want to have become strength. Those are the kind of decisions I use when I choose a verse for scripture memory. Any other comment on that? It will take me, because I'm estimating that it'll take me about a half an hour to rehearse a block of verses for the day. About a half an hour. And I do that not during my quiet time. I do that while I'm driving around, sitting at a restaurant, waiting for somebody to show up. That's when I do my remember verses. All right. Any other? Good? Can we move on? Let's go back now. Let's go to the last section, the mind. The mind. And this is what I'm going to refer to as affirmations of faith. Part of my, Oh, we got till 12, don't we? Good. I thought it was till 11:30. We have, part of this is, these are things that I want to reaffirm, truths that I want to reaffirm on a regular basis, daily basis, if you will, to remind me of who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. All right? And your list in these affirmations of faith might be different. You might skip this one altogether. I'm just telling you again what works for me. Why, over the years, that these key principles are things that I want to remind myself about. I use the illustration of playing baseball. You guys are cricket players here, or rugby, league or union rugby, and AFL for the sissies in the group, right? And sorry, Gary. Go Swans! Yeah, okay. But I play baseball, and baseball can be somewhat of a pastoral and sedentary game when there's a lot of time in between pitches and stuff. So our coach used to say, if you're playing left field and you got a runner at first and third and one out, I want you to be thinking about what happens if the ball is hit as a base hit to my left or a base hit to my right, what I'm going to do in advance. What base am I going to throw to, or where's my cutoff man going to be that I can throw to keep that runner advancing from first to third? If it's hit up the alley, do I have a chance to get that guy from first base at home plate? Is he a fast runner or a slow runner? Who is my cutoff man? Does he have a good arm or a bad arm? Think about all those scenarios in advance so that when it does happen, you can make the right play. That's what my coach used to teach me. In the same way, I'm trying to set myself up to have a good, godly, victorious Christian day. All right? I'm getting myself ready for the day. And that's what's involved with these affirmations of faith. Go with me to Romans 6. I preached on this at Steve's church, I'm not going to rehearse that message for the sake of poor Brian who sat through it. Probably for the fifth time in his life, because I've preached it once or twice maybe at Berean over 15 years of ministry there. But go to Romans chapter 6. Here's one of the key affirmations of faith that I want to get to. And that is this, that we are, I'll give you the bottom line right now, that I am no longer in a master-slave relationship with my sin nature. It's a pretty good truth to make sure you remember on a daily basis, right? Now, Romans chapter 6, you're going to, in fact, you're going to see in Romans 6, 7, and 8, the word sin is used 25 times. Of the usage of the word sin, 24 times it is used in reference to the sin nature. How do we know that? Because of the context of governance. It's always talking about dominion, all right? Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves as being dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign. There's that context of governance. Reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its in its lust. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. So all through this passage is the idea of sin, the word sin, not referring to individual acts of sin, but sin nature. And what Paul is trying to paint here for us is the idea that we used to be, before we accepted Christ as Savior, we were in a master-slave relationship with our sin nature. But now that we have come to faith in Christ, we no longer are in a master-slave relationship, even though our sin nature still tries to order us and command us about. See, I believe that there's not, when you accept Christ, there's not a final eradication of your sin nature. All right, I believe that we have a sin nature with us. If you've got a problem with that theologically, see me afterwards, all right? But I'm telling you right now, this is how I operate. This is what I believe the Word of God teaches. And so this is a very, very important aspect of this. You see, knowing verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, I have a new master now. God is my master. All right? And so what I want to do is on a regular basis, I want to remind myself that I am no longer in a master-slave relationship with my sin nature. Even though my sin nature tries to dominate, it is absurd if I obey him. I use the illustration of the Detroit Tigers and the Seattle Mariners. They were playing a game back in the early 2000s, and it was a doubleheader. A doubleheader, for those of you who don't know baseball, is two games played in the same day. And there was something happened in that game that almost never happens. It's only happened a couple of other times in the history of baseball, where two teams playing a doubleheader make a trade in between games, in which one player now, for the second, the two players in the second game switch uniforms and play for the other team. In this case, it was Juan Encarnacion of the Detroit Tigers and Joel Pinero, a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners. So what happened was, there was going to be a trade, so the second game, Juan would have played for the Mariners, and Joel would have been a pitcher for the Tigers. It didn't happen, but suppose it did. That second game, Juan Encarnacion, who was a Detroit Tiger, under the authority of the manager, Phil Gardner, he comes to bat now in the second game as a Seattle Mariner. He comes to bat, he stands in the batter's box, Phil Gardner, the manager of the Tigers, calls time out. Goes up and talks to Juan Encarnacion. He goes, Juan, this is what I want you to do. I've instructed our pitcher to throw three fastballs right down the middle plate. I don't want you to swing. I don't want you to flinch. I don't want you to take them for three strikes. You're going to be out. I want you to walk back to the dugout. Now, would you agree with me? It would be absurd for Juan to listen to his former master, right? He's playing for a new team. He's got a new manager. In the same way, you see, our former manager, our master, still tries to dominate us and order us around. We don't have to listen to him. Okay? Second affirmation of faith that is very important to Mike Elleville is the full armor of God. Go to Ephesians 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is methodios. It means strategy. It's a military term. It means that the enemy's got a strategy marked out against us. And it's the wiles of the devil. The devil's got a strategy marked out against us. He's got a strategy marked out against you, Ken. He knows how to uniquely bring you down. By the way, that plan's different than it is for Mike. Mike's an entirely different creature. And Mike has certain buttons that, by the way, the enemy knows full about because he's seen mankind from the Garden of Eden, hasn't he? He knows exactly which buttons to push for each individual. He's got a strategy marked out against us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know what that is? Those are the spiritual, those are the angelic, or in this case, demonic hierarchies. In the same way that our armies have generals, colonels, captains, and sergeants, these are those rankings in the angelic world, in this case, the demonic world. And we have an enemy that's against us. He's got an entire army of demons that are at his disposal. They are ranked in order, and those are working against us. He says, therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, I won't bore you with this other than to say this. I take this personally. I know that the enemy is out there to bring me down. And he wants... He wants to bring down my wife, and he wants to bring down my children. And I'm not going to stand for it. That's why this is really important to me. I'm going to resist firm in my faith whatever Satan's got planned against me, my wife, my children, my sons-in-laws, my soon-to-be daughter-in-law, and my five precious grandchildren. And the prescription here is given to us. It's called this thing called the full armor of God. As Dr. Vernon Miller once told me, and we had the privilege of serving with him on staff, the full armor of God is not a spiritual rabbit's foot. You just don't say it. And, you know, oh God, I place unto myself the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sandals of gospel, peace, unto my arm the shield of faith, by which I can fight off every fiery doubt of the enemy, and in my hand the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Just saying it doesn't do anything. It's not a spiritual rabbit's foot. He said the key to the full armor of God is submission. I place on myself the helmet of salvation. I'm saying, God, I want you to control my thinking. I recognize indeed that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I want every one of my thoughts captive to Christ. The breastplate of righteousness. See, it's understanding. Is it not true that we have been given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ken, you understand this, don't you? If all God did was take away your sin, you still couldn't go to heaven because you don't have a positive standing. What we needed also to have happen is a positive righteousness given to it. Not of our own, Philippians chapter 3, that which is found through the law, but that which is found through faith in Christ. We have given His righteousness. Therefore, I want to choose to live righteously today. Because I have been given the righteousness of Christ, I don't have to be righteous in order to earn my salvation, but I have the privilege to be righteous. And so this part of it is just saying, God, I recognize that I have been given the very righteousness of Christ. Therefore, today I choose to live righteously. Guide and direct my thoughts and my actions, my words, that I might reflect your righteousness. Build the truth. We know there's a lot of lying out there, a lot of error. And so and you notice that the armor, everything hangs on the belt. If you've ever been wilderness camping, you know how important it is to have a belt with a good backpack, because that belt brings all the weight down on your hips rather than your legs or your shoulders. Same thing with this belt. Everything hinges on truth, right? And this truth, that I'm submitting to truth, that I would be a truth teller, a truth bearer, that I would also have discernment to know how Satan is lying to me, and I would be able to tell truth from error. The sandals of the gospel of peace, that as a servant of Christ, that I would be able to stand firm for the gospel, being ready to move positively to defend and proclaim it. The shield of faith is my identity in Jesus Christ, knowing who I am as a child of God, that I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that I'm sealed by the Spirit, that I am His, I'm uniquely His child. And through my faith and identity in Jesus Christ, knowing who I am, I'm able to fight off every fiery dart of insinuation, accusation, and temptation that comes my way. And into my hand the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word, that God would indeed use His Word in me and through me today. These are affirmations of faith. Can I just briefly mention a couple of others and then move on? Putting off the old man. Dear God, in this day, I willfully choose to put off the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lust of deceit, and I choose to put on the new man, that I would walk as a new creation today, worship as a new creation today, honor you in my life. That if I have an appointment with Gary Smitham, I will even in that prayer time say that I might approach my appointment with Gary Smitham today as a new creature. I had a meeting with Val for lunch. I want to do that as a new creature today. Not as the old Mike Elleville. They used to live in such a putrid way before I got saved. So I put off the old man and I'm putting on the new. Right? This is one of the affirmations of faith. Putting on the new. And then lastly, spirit filling. This is vital. Gentlemen, we are pathetically weak in our pneumatology. Pathetically weak in the application of our pneumatology. The Scriptures tell us to be filled with the Spirit. You know what that's talking about, don't you? It's control, allowing the Spirit to control me. Just as Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Just as wine controls a man and makes him act like an idiot, so the Spirit controls us and teaches us to act like God. We want the Spirit to control us. It's used in the present active tense in the Bible, which means it's something that's supposed to be done regularly, consistently, habitually. It's not a one-for-all act. I don't go to Lake Ann Baptist Youth Camp, surrender myself to God as Ken Rudolph wraps up the message and say, God, once for all in my life, never to happen again right now, fill me with your Spirit. No, the idea of filling is something we do on a regular basis. And so I asked for God's filling of the Spirit to teach this seminar before I came here today. I'll ask for God's Spirit before I witness and share with somebody. Or the filling of the Spirit is I have an appointment with Val. All right? I believe that's important. Because otherwise, Mike Ellevold has a tendency to do things in his own strength, his own flesh, his own wisdom. And I want the Spirit to work through me. Let me give you, why did I say we are pathetic practitioners of our pneumatology? Let me give you an example. Well, you know the reason why. As good, conservative, fundamental believers in Christ, we react so much against the charismatics, we've given them pneumatology completely over to them. And so I was a youth pastor, again, I'm maybe 25, 26 years old, and there was this great youth ministry concept called Sun Life Ministries out of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. We were having a Sun Life Youth Pastors Conference in Muskegon, Michigan at the Maranatha Bible Conference grounds. And there's 200 or so youth pastors sitting in a large room. And we're sitting there waiting for this man to come. He's from California. He's 65 years old. He is a lifer. He's been a youth pastor his whole life. You know, I mean, that's dedication to the Lord, right? And so he comes in and he goes, okay, to get things started, get out a pencil and paper, he says. And he says, I want you to write down right now on a piece of paper your role in your local church. What is your role in your local church? Boy, you should have, man, it was incredible. You heard all these pens come out and you hear writing and scratching. And man, we could have formed a youth pastor union right then and there. They make me turn the lights off. I have to sweep the floors afterwards, and then scratching and everything. And they're writing, we're writing all like crazy. You could hear all that scratching. And he goes, you got that? And, you know, guys got 5 pages, you know, of their role, what they were supposed to do in the local church. And he goes, all right, now, he says, get another piece of paper out. He says, now, answer this question. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in your ministry? And I went, oh, man, yeah, okay. And I realized I was stuck. And then I looked around the room, and nobody else was writing either. Now, you may be able to answer that question, but I couldn't really succinctly, personally say, okay, how am I allowing the Spirit to work in my life and my ministry? Outside of the obligatory, He guides, He directs me, I'm sealed. Right? And so it's just been a huge passion and priority for me to affirm on a daily basis that I need the Spirit's filling for any task in ministry that I have marked out for that day. These are affirmations of faith. They're part of my quiet time. All right? Now, having said that, let me put it all together for you. All right? Any comments on this? All right, let's look at it now this way. Say, well, Pastor, this is really overwhelming, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. But listen, it does, you'd be surprised. It can happen on a regular basis, all right? How on earth do I do this on a regular basis? How do we put this into practice for us, all right? Well, we're going to start off this way. I start off each day when I do this on a regular basis, Scripture reading and journaling. Then we move into the worship time. Because the Scripture reading is going to feed this, and the journaling is going to feed that idea of the seeing. Remember, I want to see rightly, or however I said that to you, but I want to see God working in my life. And the journaling feeds into that. And so my response is going to be here in that worship time. All right? Then, after we do the worship time, we are going to move into the prayer time. which I try to practice that formula that was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I apply that, the spiritual petitions and the physical petitions and the spiritual petitions using a prayer list. A prayer list that is divided up. Matt and I were talking about how he prays for supporting churches and his individual supporters, and or you may pray for your church members. I personally don't feel like I need to pray for all of them every day. And so I divide up my churches and my individual supporters. And my prayer list for spiritual requests and physical requests is divided up so that through the course of the week, I've covered everything I want, I feel that God wants me to pray for. Does that make sense? And then we close out with the scripture memory time. And that's when I'm going to sit down now, write out my verses, and I'm going to, affirmations of faith right here. The reason why I kind of left that out for a second, because it's usually associated with my prayer time. That as I begin praying, and if I'm praying for myself in the spiritual elements, that's when those affirmations come out. And I'm praying for my wife and my daughters and my sons-in-laws, and I'm praying for myself, and I'm praying unto myself the full armor of God. I'm interceding for my wife and my children and my grandchildren, the elements of the full armor of God, that they would submit themselves in that way that I described. And so the affirmations come through my prayer time, and then we close off with the scripture memory time. And that's when I write out the cards. I grab my cards that I need to memorize for the day. I grab out the dailies. I grab out the day of the week, in this case Friday, and I grab out the number 1 through 21, which today would be 15. And I grab them, and I alternate them. If you looked at my cards here, you'd see that some are upside down. I have right side, upside, right side, depending on what section I'm working with. All right? That's how we do it. What works for you? What would you add to this? What would you say, Pastor, this would be something that would be that's beneficial for you that you'd like to share, that you say, consider doing this, Pastor. This would be helpful in your daily disciplines of walking and growing as a believer. Anything that you would add to that? Anybody want to suggest anything? We've had a good suggestion earlier about the prayer book as a part of that worship time. That's a real nice addition that I'm going to look at. Yes, sir. John. Yes. Oh, you know, I was going to ask this question of you folks. Go ahead. I know exactly where you're going. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, John, I saw a pastor that had a real good system, and he was explaining it to me, and I didn't grab it, and I've always wanted to have that. And so I was going to ask this group, if anybody does that, they have this really cool cross-referencing system in which you're reading a magazine, a book, or something on a particular, and as different things stand out to you in those magazines or books about prayer, about apologetics, about global warming, about whatever, that you have a way of labeling it and systematizing it so you can get it at your fingertips. That's what you're asking, isn't it? Does anybody have that? And if so, the rest of the seminar is up to you, is in your hands. Very good.
I usually remember which book it's in. I can go back and look at the index
No, that's better than what I have. That's good. So just go back, do like what we're doing with Bible Reading Highlights, only 7M. You're just saying apologetics, global warming, the character of God, prayer, fear of God, whatever, and then you go back and flip through and put those in an index in the back of the book. Excellent. John? Mike, I'm sorry. John's back there. Mike here. Every note. Okay, explain this. Stand up. Turn around. Don't let these people trample you to death. Stand up. Come on, come on, come on. There. Use your outdoor voice. Now, how does that work? Do you have to download a software called Evernote?
No, it's online.
It's online. But you want this on your, you obviously want it available while you're surfing the web, so you want it as a bookmark or something like that, right? All right? And so you're reading something, now you highlight it. How does that work now? You highlight it, click Everbook or Evernote?
I have a bookmark.
Okay, good. And so you click that. All right. All the subject tags right there, and then that allows you to go back. Very good. Excellent. You had something.
Oh, I just have a magazine newspaper reader.
Very good. Do you have a file? Do you have a file box that has topics, or just? And then you drop them in, and if it's a new topic, you make a new folder and drop it in. That's, amen. Good. All right. Excellent. Tear those magazines up. All right. Yeah.
I start putting when I get something on the internet or something, or my drawings or something that I really like, I'll save it to a Word document or something, and I'll save it to a folder.
Yes.
I've got my illustrations folder.
Yes. Yes. And that's very good. Thank you. These are great suggestions. The brother that I was talking to had a system. It was a book. And so if he's reading the book, he would select a quote or a passage that dealt with a system that, and this book was a reference to like the library card indexing number to deal with that. So, all right, you following what I'm talking about? It's probably way over, but anyways, he would go through that and label those with a little piece of card, or probably today he would use a sticky note, and then he would hand that to his secretary when he was done with the book and say, I want that all done, organized, and put into a, then he had a file cabinet like what you did, all right, and everything would go in, she would make it, she'd maintain it. She used his secretary to do that. Now, many of us probably don't have secretaries anymore. We might, or if we do, they're our wives, and they may not appreciate having to do all that work. But that's how he did it, all right? Something along that line. Well, good. I hope this has been helpful to you. Again, the importance of this is don't turn this into law. It is a privilege to be able to do these spiritual disciplines. The key point here is we need these disciplines. You don't need all the ones that I'm using. I'm a different creature than you are, but you may get some ideas here that will help you with your spiritual disciplines and further you along in your spiritual journey. But don't turn them into law. If you, I had a, you remember Kyle Quigley? Do you remember Kyle? He might have been before your time at Berean. But Kyle was a gymnast for the University of Michigan. He was attending our church. And he came to me one day, and he was just sweating, and he was so upset, and he was under conviction because he was only spending 3 hours a day in quiet time. And he was sure God was disappointed with him. And what had happened was he had turned this privilege into law, and that he had to do it in order to please God. God loves us. Amen? Nothing you do is going to add to his love. Nothing. And nothing you don't do is going to take away from it. He loves us. This is a privilege to do it. See it as that way, and then you'll see. One, if you look at it the other way, it's bondage. And the other side, it's freedom. Do this in freedom. All right? Let's close in prayer. God, thank you so much for our time together in your word and through these spiritual disciplines. I pray, dear God, that you would bear fruit of these, first of all, in my own life. As I apply them in my life, I pray, Father, that if these things have been helpful to others, that they would apply those things that will encourage their spiritual development. But, Father, to help us always to do this in grace and freedom, knowing it's a privilege. Don't let the enemy turn this into law in our life. And thank you for the things that I've gleaned today from others that will help in my quiet time. And I'm looking forward to putting those into practice. And I pray, God, that the end result would be that each day would see us more and more and more like your precious Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank